Okay, Rabbi Sai. Today's daf is daf Mem Hei. We're starting at the Mishnah at the top of the Amud. We've been speaking about for the last few days and throughout the Masechta about the special minig of Arava that they had in the Beis HaMikdash, which is apart from the Arava that we have as part of the Arba Minim. And now our Mishnah goes into it in greater detail. As you recall, is a machloikis exactly what the makor, the source is of this mitzvah arava b'mikdash. Abba Shaul said it's based on the pasuk, the arve nachal, the arve. Arve is lashon rabim, tells you that there are two mitzvahs of aravos. One is part of the arba minim, and one is part. Everybody, please put yourselves on mute because we hear some noise in the background. I get the bach Reb Shloima, get the bach Shelly. We're on Mem Hei Amud Aleph, we just started the Mishnah. And, as we've learned in the past, Abba Shaul says that the source of the mitzvah of Arava during the 7 days of Yontiv in the Beis HaMikdash is based on the Pasuk Arvei Nochal. Arvei is Lashon Rabim. One Arava for the Lulav, one Arava for the Beis HaMikdash. But all 7 days. As well as Reb Yochanan said in the name of Reb Nechunya Ish Chortan that there are three halachas which are halacha l'moishe mi-Sinai, Esra Netiyos, which involves Hilchoi Shmita, Arava, and Nisach HaMayim, are all halacha l'moishe mi-Sinai. So we know for a fact in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, 7 days they had the mitzvah of Arava. Connected that, we today have 1 day of Arava, meaning Arava other than the Aravas which are part of the Lulav and Esrig, and that of course is on a Shana Rab. So we're going to go into this in much more detail. Zok the Mishnah. Mitzvah Arava Ketzer. What's the mitzvah Arava? Mokam Hayulamata Yerushalayim Venikra Moitza. There is a town not far south of Yerushalayim which is called Moitza. Even today when you're traveling on Kvish Echad toward Yerushalayim, you'll see a big sign before you reach Yerushalayim which says on it Moitza. Whether that is the same one as that of our Mishnah, I don't know. But there is a town today called Moitza, which is just before you hit Yerushalayim. Yordu Misham. So, the people who are in charge of the Aravos would go down to that place. Moitza, Umalakten Misham, Murbiyos Shel Arava. And they would go and collect together Murbiyos of Arava. Murbiyos, as we'll see in the Gemara, means very long Aravos. In fact, how long we're talking about, 11 amos long, each arava. Assuming that an ama is 2 feet, we're talking about aravas which are 22 feet long. 22 feet long. That's a very long arava. Anyway, so they collected a whole bunch of those, murbiyos of arava, and what did they do with them? Uboim, bezoikven oisam betzid hamizbeach. They would take them and they would circle them, they would stand them up around the sides of the Mizbeach, and because they were so long, v'rasheyin, the tops of each one of these aravos, kifufin, were bent over, al gabe Mizbeach, over the top of the Mizbeach. The whole Mizbeach, as we know, we'll see in the Gemara in more detail, the Mizbeach was 9 amos tall. We typically think of the Mizbeach being 10 amos tall, but that's because we include the 4 corners, the 4 koronos. But if you're talking about the surface of the Mizbeach and you're ignoring the Koronos, that was 9 amos from the floor. And here you're talking about that the Murbiyos Shel Arava were 11 amos, so at least 2 amos taller, and therefore the top of them were bent over in a very, very nice, beautiful fashion, very, very graceful. Talk of Ariya V'Taku. And now, again, the 7 days that they did this in the Beis HaMikdash, they would go and blow shofar. The reason why they blew the shofar, if you look in the third Tosfos from the top of the Amud, we're going to learn the entire Tosfos. It says, Tosfos Taku Ve'Riyah V'Taku Misham Simcha. They wanted that the mitzvah Arava should be done with Simcha, and therefore, Matke blues and shofar. Every day of the 7 days of Yontif, they would go and surround the Mizbeach once. The Oymer, they would say, Uno Hashem Oishiyana, Uno Hashem Hatzlichana. Rabbi Yehuda Oymer, Aniva Hoyoishiyana. The Oisei Yoim Makifin as a Mizbeach Shevapomim. Oisei Yoim means on Hoishan Rabbah, they were Makvin the Mizbeach 7 times. So now, let's think about this for a moment. What means B'chol Yoim Makifin es HaMizbeach? Parship Shat Makifin means Makimach Takofis. Just like we today make Hakofis, we go around the Bima every single day at the time that we say the Hoshanis. We go around with Alulav and Esrig. So too, they made such Hakofis. We use the term Hakofa, especially on Simchas Torah. We make Hakofis, we go around the Shulchan. There too, they were makib, they went a room at a room, they went around the Mizbech. And every day they went around the Mizbech Pamachas once. And Ba'oisei Yoim, meaning on Hishan Rabbah, they went around the Mizbech 7 times. Now that's the Parshat Pshat. But as you recall, it's not so simple. Because in yesterday's blot, on Daf Mem Dalid, we saw there was a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. And Rabbi Yochanan said, who even said there was this mitzvah of walking around the Mizbech? Remember, Rish Lakish said that the Kohanim Bali Mumin were allowed to go around the Mizbech, even though whilst you're going around the Mizbech, when you're going on the western side of the Mizbech, you're going Bein Ha'ulam V'la Mizbech. And Kohanim Bali Mumin typically are prohibited from walking there because they're not allowed to do the Avodah. Nevertheless, Rish Lakish said they're allowed to go around because a mitzvah Arov is on everybody, not just on the Kohanim Tmimim. So they're allowed to go around. And Rabbi Yochanan asked, who said there's a mitzvah of going around? Maybe there's only a mitzvah of standing up the Aravos around the Mizbeach. Like we said a moment ago, Zoykven Oysan Betzile HaMizbeach. So there's in fact a machloikis whether or not people went around with Hakofis, or whether they just were makif the Mizbeach with the Aravos. So if you hold that people were going around, the Becholya Makifin means they walked around, and holding presumably their machzoyrim and their hoishanis in hand and saying the tefillahs. Now that we sit there with the holding the hoishanis, this once again is another machlokes. That even according to those that hold that the kohanim did walk around the shulchan, not the shulchan, the mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash, what did they hold in their hands? So we had, not yesterday, but the day before, a machlokes, whether or not they were walking around with lulavim, in other words, with the arba minim, like we do throughout the week of Sukkot, we walk around the bima with the arba minim, or whether they put the arba minim down and they were walking around with a rovois in their hands. So we had that a machloikis back on Daf Mem Gimel. Anyway, so assuming that the pshat in the Mishnah, b'chol yoy makifenes ha-mizbeach, means that people were holding on to their aravos, then the Mishnah is slightly out of order. What do I mean the Mishnah is out of order? Because the Mishnah said at the outset, on line 2 and 3, that Zoykvin oysa mitzina mizbeach, they took the murbi yishal arav and they stood them up on the sides of the mizbeach. And then it says a line later, b'chol yoy makifin ez ha-mizbeach. It sounds like the hakofis took place after they stood up the aravos. And if in fact the hakofis were withholding the arba minim, then there's no problem. You can stand up the aravos very nicely around the mizbeach, and then walk around and make a nice hakofis around the mizbeach with the aravos standing there in place. However, if you're telling me that they were carrying the aravos, then they carried the aravos first, and when they finished the hakofos, they would go and stand up the aravos around the mizbeach. Therefore, the Lashon HaMishnah is a little bit out of order, because the Mishnah says, Zoykvin first, and Makifin second, and it really was Makifin first, and Zoykvin second. This is not my pshat. Now we'll learn a second toys. Just look at the second toys here in the Amud. Zoykvin ois betzina mizbeach. Hainuli achashe kifu pam achas. Lamandi omar arova benetila. According to those that hold that netila, meaning you held in your hand something when you went around the mizbeach, if you held in your hand the arba minim, they'll learn the Mishnah like it says. Stand up the Aravis next to the Mizbeach and walk around. Then the Lashon of Mishnah is fine. However, the Tosfos, according to my Yama, that holds Arava Benetila, that they were holding the Aravis when they went Arum and Arum, the Mizbeach, that was after they finished the Netilas Arava, then they were Zoykiv them. In other words, people first held the Arava in hand, walked around, what do I do with the Arava now? Now I'm going to be Zoykiv, I'm going to go and stand it up next to the Mizbeach. So that's what Tosfos is saying. La'achashi kifu pamachas, after they finished the Hakofa one time on every day of Yom Tov except for the final day of Shana Rabba, after that netila, then they were zokev. So therefore, the Lashon HaMishnah is out of order according to that man yama. Fine. That is correct. They would have to hold it presumably with both hands, and maybe a few people had to help them. It's true. These are long, since the average person is 5, 5.5, 6 feet. The Aravos would double their size. So they probably had to have 2 or 3 people holding it together so they didn't fall out of your hands or didn't overwhelm you. You're absolutely right. Anyway, so getting back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us, so going back to Chol Yom HaKifin and Mizbeach, every day they would go around the Mizbeach one time. Now, according to the Man Yoma that says that they didn't actually walk around, they just stood up the Aravos next to the Mizbeach, on a daily basis, they did it once. They put them up very nicely so that they should go and bend over the Mizbeach, and everything was fine. According to the Man Yomar, and then what did they do on the seventh day? Al Korchach, what you have to say, since Makifin doesn't mean that they walked around, but rather that they were standing up the Aravos, it means that each time they took it down and they put it back up again. Took it down, put it back up, 7 times all together. On a Shana Rabba. Anyway, so getting back to this part of the Mishnah, they said,
why did they have to put it down? What was why didn't they just go around?
Again, if you're telling me that they walked around the Mizbeach, then if they were walking around with the lulav and esrog, they just put up those ishanis, those aravos around the Mizbeach, and left them there. And then the people started walking around either once every day, or they walked around 7 times on Hoshana Rabbah. That's assuming that the Makifin means walking around the Mizbeach, just like the sense of our on Simchas Torah, we go around the Bima in our shuls, what we call Hakafais. Or when we go around the Bima throughout the week of Sukkis, when we recite the Hoshanas. That is all simple. They just left the Aravos standing there. If, however, you're telling me that there was no Hakafa Beregel, nobody walked around, but rather this Makifin means standing up these very stately, majestic Aravos around the Mizbeach, what does it mean in the Mishnah that every day they did it once and Hoshana Rabba they did it 7 times? 7 times means that they, in a sense, dismantled, or they removed the Aravos after they put it up the first time. They put it up first, once. Then they said whatever Hoshanas were, they're probably similar to what we say today. I don't know if the exact piyutim, but whatever tefillas they said. So they said once, then they took him down, put him back up again, said some other tefillas, took him down, put it up again, another 7 times altogether. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. What were they makif 7 times? If makif means zokfin, standing up the aravos.
Okay. Say they did the hakafas and then they put them down, zokif, and then they picked them up again and did a hakafa.
When you say hakafas, you mean walking around, correct?
Walking around.
Right. Rabbi Yochanan said yesterday in the Gemara, if you go back to Mem Dalid Omud Aleph, the Gemara we learned yesterday, towards the bottom of the Omud, you see there's a choice of the Omud of Yochanan on the left hand side. Go down 3 lines. Omer Ish Lakish. Koyhanim bali mumin nechnasim beinu ulma mizbeach kedei lotzis barava. They walked around, even though they're bali mumin, they went in that specially prohibited area, no trespassing area called beinu ulma mizbeach, to be yoytzeh the mitzvah rav. Rabbi Yochanan said, who said? And then the Gemara skip a few words. Rabbi Yochanan himself said that there's a din of Es and Atiyah, so Rabbi Nisachamayim Lachem Moshe B'Sinai. Ela mi amra b'netila dilma b'skifa. Who said that there's a mitzvah of walking around holding on to either your lulav and esrog and walking around, or holding the arava and walking around? Dilma b'skifa, maybe they just went and stood it up. If you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Amud, again, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, Mi Amr Ben Atila Utei Choyves Kohanim De Ka'amar Lotzeis, who says it's a mitzvah of the Kohanim to walk around, to be Yotzei, Dil B'Skifa, Ve Koyin Echad Zoykva Al Yedei HaKoyl Vein Choyv Al Kulam. There's no mitzvah of every individual in Klal Yisrael or all the Kohanim. One Koyin has to just stand up the Arabis next to the Mizbeach, and we're done. We were yoitze and a mitzvah. That's what Rabbi Yochanan holds. The Gemara doesn't give an answer. Rabbi Yochanan holds you only have to do b'skifa, you don't need to do b'netila. Now Rabbi Yochanan was the Gadol Hadar. He knows that in our Mishnah it says b'chol yom makifin. So what does he do with the Lashon HaKafa? He says HaKafa doesn't mean to walk around. HaKafa means to be zokfin, to surround the Mizbeach by standing up all of these aravos. The Gemara doesn't tell us how many aravos, since the Mizbeach was 32 by 32. We'll see in the Gemara they put it on the aside, 30 by 30. Assuming that they put one arava per amma, you'd have 30 plus 30 plus 30 plus 30, you'd have up to 120 long aravos circling the Mizbeach. Somebody has a question.
Yes, I don't understand what the Balemumim have with this the Balemumim going around. I mean, how do we relate the Balemumim going around to the
Zayt? Okay, so this is a little bit of a chazara of yesterday's blot, but that's wonderful because we have to understand today's blot. According to Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish holds there were two separate sub-mitzvahs in the mitzvah Arav in the Beis Hamikdash. Mitzvah number one, to stand up the Aravis, Arum and Arum, encircling the Mizbeach. That everybody agrees to, no machlokis. Says Rish Lakish, but there's more than that. There's a mitzvah not only Bizkifa, but also Binatila. Binatila means to walk around the Mizbeach, holding something, and presumably saying some sort of piyut, or a shtickel from Hallel, or whatever. What was that thing that they were walking around? Either it was the Arba Minim, like we walk around throughout the Yontiv, or they were holding the Aravis in hand. So what Tosis told us is that according to the view that they were holding the Aravis in hand, they first walked around with the Aravis, and then when they were finished, then they stood them up next to the Mizbeach. What Reish Lakish added is that since normally throughout the year, the only ones that were allowed to go b'ne ulam l'mizbeach were Kohanim that were doing the Avoida, and a Kohen Baal Mum is not allowed to do the Avoida, so therefore he was prohibited. But today, on Yom Tov Sukkos, he's also a Machitin, he also has the din of the Aravis, so he's allowed to go around b'ne ulam l'mizbeach. Is good?
But he was allowed to be Zaykeh? Because there was only one Kohen that did everything.
Only one Kohen was necessary. I mean, he could have shared the Simcha with others and asked, Yankel, Beryl, come on over, help me out. But you didn't need Bali Mumin. The fact that Reish Lakish says you had Bali Mumin
to help out, which is
the Bali Mumin could help out both in the Skifa and in the Tila. They could stand them up and they could walk around.
Yeah.
Good.
I recall.
Yes, Shelley.
The Avraham walking around with the Avraham was like bringing korbanos.
Okay. And
so
if,
that was symbolic.
What you're saying is
the recollection of that.
The recollection that you have is excellent. It shows that your memory is at least 7.5 years or 15 years accurate. Because if you look at the bottom of today's Omer Aleph, which we haven't gotten to yet, but the last three lines, Omer Bavo, Omer Belozer, Kol HaNoitel, Lulav Agudai, whoever is taking the lulav with its agad, and the Hadassim. Malav akos v'kiel l'banim esbeach v'hikrav olav karbon. Is that what you were thinking of?
Yes.
Shkoyach shali. What was previously shalcha is now shalonu. Now you've shared it with everybody. Shkoyach. Dari, did you have a question? No. Everybody, Brother Shai, we're okay now? Okay, so back to the Mishnah. Good, so back to the Mishnah.
Someone had a question, no, I think.
Anybody else?
Yeah. The Mishpeh is a fiery place. If you're dangling vegetables all around it, it's not going to catch fire?
It's a very good question. The Marocha on top of the Mizbeach, we're talking about, was 28. The entire surface area of the Mizbeach on top was 28 amos by 28 amos. And the fire that you're referring to was smack in the middle. So, assuming there was ama al ama, you still had 12, 13 amos on each side. Even if it's 2 amos, or 3 amos, or 4 amos by 4 amos, you still have another 20 or 10, 12 amos on each side. So there was still plenty of buffer zone between the side of the Mizbeach and the middle until you got to the fire in the middle. Good? Fine.
Especially, in fact, on Sukkot. There's a lot of things that get burnt there.
But they probably made sure at the time that they were putting up the Aravos that all of the Kabbonis were pushed together in one corner, and one, not one corner, but on the Marocha, they shouldn't spill over all sides. I'm sure they were the Kahanim's reason, Hain, so I'm sure they were conscious and conscientious of the fire safety rules and considerations.
Very good.
Good. So getting back to our Mishnah, I thank you very much for that fiery comment, and we're going to continue with fire in understanding the Mishnah. So, the Tanakhama says that they said, Ono Hashem Mashiach, Ono Hashem Hatzlichana, which of course is part of Hallel. And we had in the previous Mishnayos that they used to do Nianuim at the time that they said Ono Hashiach, which of course, as you know, is our Minhag today, that we do Nianuim with the Arba Minim by the Ono Hashem Mashiach. We don't do it by Ono Hashem Hatzlichana, that was only Das Beishamai. But when they put up the Aravos, they would say at that time, Ono Hashem Mashiach, Ono Hashem Hatzlichana. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ani V'Hoy Hoshiyana. Now, why does Rabbi Yehuda hold Ani V'Hoy Hoshiyana, and what does V'Hoy mean in the first place? So, to understand this, we have to explain what Rashi tells us, and that is that in Parshas Bishalach there are three psukim, one right after the other. All three of them are in. Rashi only quotes part of the psukim, but the three psukim are, they start from, let me give you the exact source so that you can look it up in case you're interested. 14, Ketzad. You have in Parshas Bishalach, Perek Yud Dalid, three psukim in a row. One pasuk is pasuk Tes, I'm sorry, Yud Tes, then pasuk Chof, and pasuk Chof Aleph. Yud Tes, Chof and Chof Aleph. These three psukim begin. First pasuk Yutes is Vayisa Malach Olakim Ahoylech Lefnei Machane Yisrael Vayelech Me'achareyem, etc. Pasuk Chof is Vayovoy Bein Machane Mitzrayim Vayelech Machane Yisrael Vayeh Onan Vachoyshech, etc. Pasuk Chof Aleph Vayet Moshe Siyode Aleyom Vayelech Hashem Asiyom Baruch Kodem Azu Kol Alayla, etc. The three psukim have one major thing in common, and that is that each one of the three psukim has exactly 72 letters. 72 letters. As a result, we're going to combine these three psukim. We're going to take a letter from pasuk 1, a letter from pasuk 2, and a letter from pasuk 3. We're going to add these three letters together, and we're going to have 72 separate names of Hashem Yisbarach, which is what Rashi calls the Shem HaMafayrish. Usually when we talk about the Shem HaMafayrish, we're referring to the Yud Kei Vav Kei, especially if it is said Kichsivosoi. As you know, when we see Yud Kei Vav Kei in the Torah or in a Chumash or a Siddur, we lay it with the Lashon Adnus. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash Hana v'om ki yishoyim es Hashem ha'gadol v'anoira, etc. Yoytze mefoyrish mepi koyin gadol b'kdusha v'tahara, and they said Baruch Shem Kavod. So that Shem mefoyrish means that the koyin gadol said that Yud Kei Vav Kei the way it is spelled, which is similar to the witnesses that they say the J. You know what I'm referring to. So this is the Shem mefoyrish of 72 names. Now they didn't go and take first letter of the first pasuk, first letter of the second, and first letter of the third pasuk, but rather the middle pasuk they reversed, and therefore we take the last letter of that pasuk first to form these 72 names. For those of you that have an art scroll, I am looking here at a blue art scroll Gemara. I don't know whether this appears also in the red ones. I assume it does. You have all the way on the bottom, you have a nice chart that goes from right to left. You have the three psukim. Notice that the first pasuk is written by Yisra Malach Olekim, etc. The second pasuk begins Halayla. And the reason for that is because that is the end of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk is starts on the left-hand side. Vayovoy bein, machne Mitzrayim, uvein, machne Yisrael, etc. All of that is written in reverse. The second pasuk is reversed. The third pasuk goes straight again, and that is Vayet Moshe es Yodoy al Hayom, etc. So, assuming that you have that in front of you, assuming you have it, you notice the first three letters are Vav of Vayisa, Hey of the last letter of Halayla, and then Vav is again Vayet Moshe. So you have Vav, Hey Vav is Vahoy. If you go from the first letter towards the 72nd letter, and you stop at 37, you'll see that it's also in bold font, and then you have Aleph in the first pasuk from the word Mei Achareihem, Aleph. Then you have the Nun from the second pasuk He'onon, and then you also have the Yud of the third pasuk Kodim. That forms Ani, Aleph Nun Yud. So the words Ani and the word Vahoy are two of the 72 words, which are all 72 words, names of Hashem, and those are the ones that we use here for purposes of using when we put up the Hishanas. So if you look quickly at the Rashi, third line from the top, Ani Vahoy, first Rashi tells us about a Gematria, we'll come back to that in a moment. V'oid, V'shivim, V'shtayim, V'shem, V'sein, Hanekuvim, V'sholish, M'krois, Hasmuchim, V'parshas, V'hi, B'shalach. These are two out of the 72 names of Hashem, which are formed by combining these three psukim and parshas v'shalach. First pasuk is Vayisa, Vayovah b'machne Mitzrayim, Vayet Moshe Siodoy. So you have these three psukim, Vayisa, Vayovah, and Vayet. Ushloshton b'nei shivim ushtayim oisius. All three of them have 72 letters. Umehen shema mafayrish. And you add them all up together and you get 72 names, 72 words, which are all part and parcel of the great 72 word Shema Mefayish. Ois Rishonish L'Pasek Rishon, V'Achroin Ishel Emtzoi, V'Rishon Ishel Achroin, gives you Vav, Hey, Vav. V'Chein B'Zeh HaSeder, Kulan Hashem Rishon, comes out V'Hoi. How do you have V'Hoi? Vav Shel Vayisa, Hey, D'Chol HaLayla, Vav D'Vayet, so that's V'Hoi. The Shem Ashloishim Meshavah, and the 37th one is Ani. How do you get to Ani? Aleph Tameyachareim, Nun Rishon Deo Onon, because Onon has two Nuns, you take the first Nun, Bechashboin, Shom Afreya, V'yud Duruach Kodim, that's the Yud of the word Kodim, and we have Ani. So therefore we have the Ani Vohoi. Why do we choose the 37th as opposed to any of the others? So the Tosfos Yontif says he saw in the Sefer HaBohir, which I assume is a Kabbalistic work, that the 72 itself can be subdivided into two separate Shemas of 36 each, and so therefore Vahoy is the beginning of the first Chelik of the 36, and Ani is the beginning of the second Chelik, because that's number 37. After the first 36 are over, we start number 37. Now, why do we say these words Ani Vahoy? So that's the beginning of the Rashi. Because if you figure out the gematria of Ani Vahoy, Ani is 1, Nun is 50, Yud is 10, that adds up to 61. Vahoy, Vav and Vav is 12. Hey is 5. 12 plus 5 is 17. So if you add 61 and 17, you get to approximately 78. So we got 78. Now let's go to Un Hashem. Ono is Aleph Nun Aleph. That's 52. That's easy. Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. 52 and 26 is 78. So therefore, what Rabbi Huda basically is telling us is, I'm also going to say Uno Hashem Hoshiena, but instead of using the words On Hashem, I'm going to use the words Ani Vahoy, because it's the same gematria, and I get the additional benefit that I'm reciting two names of the 72 name, or the 72 word, Shem HaMafayish. Okay, all of that is wonderful and beautiful, but Vos Epis, what's the special occasion, what's the reason? So, you have the next Tois Ani Vahoy, the first half of the Toises, he repeats word for word the Rashi, and then going down about 60% of that Toises, you'll see after Pirush HaKuntris, and he said, "Vadayin tzuruch tam lezeh, loma nishtanu shnei shemes halolu, di amrin lehu tvei miachrini." Why do we pick out Ani Vahoy after all the 72 names? What's up with these two names? Mishum de darshinim be'echer abasi, kra in Medrash Eicher it says, in the passage to Sib Yecheskel, Vani besoich ha-goyla, who's Vani? Ukra dechsib be adet. Vani is referring to Kaviyachol the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom says that when I say send the Yidin out into Golis, I will be included with them. I'm also going with them in Golis. And that's how we get the expression Shchinta Bigalisa, Shchinta Bigalusa, that the Shchinta is also in Golis. And then there's another pasuk in Yeremiah, Vhu Asur Bezikim, which means, again, Kaviyachol Hu Ba'atzmoy. A Kaddish Baruch Hu is saying about himself that he is also tied up in chains, just like the Jews who Nebuch were pulled, well, were taken out into Golis from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, into Bavel. Therefore, we ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu, every time that we say Ani Vahoy Hoshiyana, we're saying Kaddish Baruch Hu, don't just save us. Save yourself, a Kaddish Baruch Hu, because you yourself said in the Medrash, Vani b'toich ha-goyla, I'm in Golis and I'm in Vahu, also Bezikin. According to this, one should l'choy to say Ani Vahu Hoshiyana, not Ani Vahoy Hoshiyana, but the standard Machzoyrim and Sidurim all say Ani Vahoy. And therefore, this is referring to Shechina Begalusa and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We're asking and begging him, a Kaddish Baruch Hu, have mercy not only on us, but also on yourself. There's a story that you may have heard about the Heilig Rishna, that the Rishna was unfortunately taken to prison because of Maskilim and others that fabricated all types of charges against him, and he was taken to prison. Eventually he was freed. When the Rishna was in jail, he was of course very depressed. And the warden came to him and said, "Rabbi, why are you so depressed? After all, we all read in the Psalms, Psalm number 23, Kam ki eilech begeit salmoves, even when I walk in the shadow of death, the shadow of darkness, lo ira ro, I'm not afraid, ki ati modi, because you are Kodesh Baruch, you're with me. So Rabbi, what are you so depressed for? God is with you here in the jail, you should be happy." And the Rishna said, "Warden, you're reading the pasuk incorrectly. What you said is correct, but you interpreted the pasuk incorrectly. Gam ki eilech begeit samavas. Even when I happen to be in this dungeon, in this terrible criminal jail, it's gefarlech. It's like being Gehenim. Loi ira, I'm not afraid. Why am I not afraid? Because Hashem is with me. You know, ra, you know it's really bad. Ki ati madi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you also have to be sitting here in the dungeon. That's what bothers me. Mamela, that I boss of a dumb, that I have to sit in the dungeon together with all these criminals. No, but you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ra, it bothers me, ki ati madi, that you're together with me, shchinta begalusa." And that's what we're being mispal, Ani v'hoi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You said about yourself that you're in Golis, you're in chains. Go and save us and save yourself at the same time. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, so this is what Rabbi Yehuda said was said. And on that seventh day, they would go around on Yishan Rabbah seven times. And when they were finished with the whole avoida involving the arava. Mahin, I mean, what would they say at that time? Yoifilchom mizbeach, yoifilchom mizbeach. Ah, all of this beauty, all of this majesty is for you, the mizbeach. And Rashi explains that we are thanking the mizbeach because the mizbeach throughout the year offers kapara through bringing the carbon chatzis and carbon asham, and therefore yoifilchom, you mizbeach, you deserve that these majestic, beautiful weeping willows are towering above you, and it makes for a very, very beautiful scene. Reb Lezer Oimer, they would say, L'ka ulecha mizbeach, L'ka ulecha mizbeach, L'ka for the shame Yud Kei, ulecha mizbeach. We are, on the surface, it sounds like we are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the mizbeach, and we're praising Hashem and the mizbeach. And the Gemara in the Amud Beis is going to ask that this would seem to be, on the surface, blasphemy, because there's a pasuk, bilti l'Hashem levadoi, we are not allowed to go and praise anyone or anything together with the Mizbeach, together with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's always got to be split up. And in fact, the Gemara is going to address that question on the Amud Beis. K'maseu b'chol kach maseu b'Shabbos. Throughout 7 days of Yontif, the same procedure each day, except, of course, the Shana Rabbah, they did it 7 times, like we had before. But there was one difference between Chol and Shabbos. Since you couldn't pluck or pick the arovos on Shabbos, so you had to do it from Erev Shabbos. So what would you do on Erev Shabbos? They would malak them from Erev Shabbos. In other words, they would cut them from Motzei. They would bring up these arovos. And the menichan oisan over Shabbos Friday night, they would put in gigiois are large barrels, shelzov of gold. And those barrels were full of water, and they let them stand there in the cold water, so they shouldn't wither and shrivel overnight. Good. Rabbi Yochanan Breuker introduces something new, that besides the arovos that were surrounding the mizbeach, they also chayroyas shel dekel. Chayroyas means branches of a dekel tree. Dekel tree is a palm tree. That's where they get lulavim from. So the branches of the palm tree, hayimavin, they would bring b'choifsen oisan bekarka b'tzidam mizbeach, and they would go and take them next to the mizbeach. Now, what means choiften? So Rashi, over the last couple of days, whenever we've used the term chibut, Rashi has always said minanea. They would go and shake them. The Rambam, however, when he sees the word chibut, he says it means to clap, like we clap hishanis on Hoshana Rabbah, that we clap them, we bang them on the floor, we bang them against the table or against the chair, and we clap them so that the leaves fall off. So, according to the Rambam, this makes a lot of sense, that instead of, or in addition to, clapping Hoshanas, they also clapped these branches of the dekel tree. What is the source of that? We'll see in Mir Tishem on the Amud Beis. They clapped them. According to Rashi, L'chayr V'chayfta means that they were shaking them back and forth. The only problem is the word karka. Choyftan oisim karka sounds like clapping them on karka. The art scroll points out that the Ritva doesn't have the girsa bekarka. It just says hayimavien v'choyftan oisan. And if that's the case, then according to Rashi, that would be fine. There would be manea them. They would wave them back and forth, but not clap them. Betzidah mizbeach, next to the mizbeach. Voisa yoim, and that day v'shan rabba, nikra chabut charoyis. Instead of Hoshana Rabbah, or in addition to Hoshana Rabbah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breuker says it was called Chavut Charoyis because that was the day that they clapped these dekel branches, or they clapped them, or they surrounded them, and menaneah them in the Azar. Finally, the Mishnah tells us something very, very amazing, that miyat inoikos shoymtenes lulaveim va'oichlen esregeim, that the tenoikos, the young kids, also had Arba Minim, and on the final day in Hoshana Rabbah, after all the services were over and everything was done, then the adults would go and be shomate, they would go and slip out the lulavim from the hands of the tenoikis of the youngsters, and they would go and chap, they would take the esroigim away from the youngsters, and they would chew, they would eat into those esroigim. Now, how do I know that that's a pshat? Doesn't it sound like the Tanaikis are one that chimed in? But if you look at the Rashi right before Gemara, two Rashis before. Miyad tenoy kishem tenes lulaveyem. The Rashi at Gemara is about halfway down the Amud. So you go up another five lines. Miyad tenoy kishem tenes lulaveyem hagedoylem, the adults. They would go and schlep them out of the hands of the ktanim, and the adults would eat the esroigim of the tinoikos. Now you're saying to yourself, "Hey, isn't that gezel?" Says Rashi, "That's the minig that they had for many, many generations, and therefore anybody that had a child that had arba minim knew that the child is not going to come home with his esrig on the last day." And Almanas came, they bought it and they used it. It wasn't called Baltashkus, it wasn't called Gazel, because that was the minig that everybody knew and accepted. If you look at the next Toysis brings this Rashi, and he says, based on that, there's another amazing minhag, which I've never heard or seen other than this Toysis. If you look at Toysis, Miyad Tanoi Kishom Telula Vehen, First six lines, Toysis quotes from Rashi, and then he says, "V'yesh lumoy mikan." We're at six lines into the Toysis. We can derive from this, "Lo'oisen bachurim," those young men, "Sherochven besusim likras chosin." Oh, the chosin is getting married, and they go up towards the chosin, riding on their steeds, on their horses, "V'nolchamim zeh mezeh," and they kind of go fencing with some other bochrim, and as a result of the fencing, the koyin and bigdo shel chaveri, they might even tear the other guy's shirt, or they might cause a hezik to the other person's horse. Shein peturim, they are potter from dinei gezel or dinei hezik mazik. Shikach noagu machma simchas chasan. As I give in the minik, but the yoj yeshloimar Toysis says another pshat, and Rashi, by the way, is going to bring this pshat on tomorrow's daf in Mir Tishem. The Masis Layari Klaus Yachtifu Hagdoilim Yadun Shotin Oikis, Sheyichtifu, not that the Gdoilim stole from the children, Elamiyad Kloimar Lialter. The word Miyad in the Mishnah doesn't mean taking from their hands, but Miyad means immediately. Hatinoikis Shoimtin Lulavi Atzman Mitoicha Rava. They would go and slip out the lulav from the koishiko, where you had the adasana rovis, the fishal lulav oruch, because it's nice and long, the soichim boy, and they started playing with it, probably, you know, shaking it back and forth, the sergeno yo oichlin, and they themselves ate from their own esroigim, not that the adults stole it, but that the tanoikis themselves. So, based on this, let's go back to the last line again of the Mishnah. The way Rashi was learning was, Miyad Tenoikis, the adults came and schlepped out of the hands of the Tenoikis their lulavim, and they ate their esrayim. And according to Toysis, Miyad, right after the avoida was over, the Tenoikis were shown to their own lulavim. They took their lulavim out from the koshikol, presumably put it down on the table or whatever, and they started playing with it and shuckling it and whatever. Vayichlanser again, and they themselves ate from their own esrayim. We're going to talk about this more tomorrow morning in Yetzisha. Anyway, on to the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. We started off the Mishnah that the place where these Arabas grew.
Yes. And beat them in the ground?
It doesn't say that they beat them in the ground. This is not a Lashon of that we had before. What was the Lashon? Choyftin. This is Shoymtin. Shoymtin means to slip out. So according to Rashi, they slipped the Lulavim out of the hands of the Tanoikis. And according to Toysis, the Tanoikis slipped out the Lulavim from the Koshikol, which was attached to the lulav with the hadassim and the rabbis, and they took out the lulavim on their own.
Okay, and Rehuda ben Broka was talking about they brought other...
In addition to the Arabis, they also brought these charoyish shildekel, and they either were menaneya them, they shook them, or they banged them, they clapped them on the ground.
We don't do this today.
We do not do this today, that is correct. You are a very observant Jew in more ways than one. We do not have the minig today.
We can have a lot, you know, whatever.
We'll see in Mechim Nigmara that the Tanakhama disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan bar Breika, and Rabbi Yochanan bar Breika holds this way. The Tanakhama respectfully disagrees. Okay? We pass like the Tanakhama.
And this was on Hoshana Rabbah?
This was on Hoshana Rabbah. Yeah, Hoshana Rabbah. Mm-hmm.
You leave them out.
You leave them out. Perfect. Shkoyach. Okay, Rabbi Yisai.
On mute, because there's once in a while there's some background noise, so everybody should go on mute. It's not speaking possibly.
Could be some people are already practicing the chibut arayos, charoyos, or arovas. They're already clapping the Rishanas. Okay, Zotimar. We said at the beginning of the Mishnah, as was that they bought or brought the arovas from a place called Moitza. Ton in the Brayis, it says, Mokum Kalanya Hava. The word Kalanya apparently is related to the word colony, and Moitza was known as Mokum Kalanya, which was a tax exempt zone. No taxes were incurred if you lived in this place, Moitza. It was a Mokum Kalanya. You see the Rashi right in the middle of the Omud, Kalanya ben Chorin, men Hamas Shomelach, free of paying taxes. V'tana didon, ma'itam ekor le Moitza. In fact, why do we call it Moitza instead of calling it Kalanya? I did the mefik mikarga de malka kori le Moitza. Since it was exempt from paying the taxes of the king, it got the name Moitza. Now, the Moitza presumably in Hebrew would be Mutza. Mutza means that it was excluded from Lashon Yitzia. It was excluded from all of the towns and villages and cities that had to go and pay taxes. But we call it Moitza, but grammatically probably it should be called Mutza. Right. We learned in the Braisa, Rabois v'arukois u'gvoyois achad osar ama. So Parshat Shat, Rabois means many, v'arukois, and they were long and they were tall, 11 amas. However, you notice there's an aleph before Rabois, and that's the aleph of the Vilna Gaon, and he says it shouldn't say Rabois, it should say, actually it's not from the Vilna Gaon, it's from the Ranjborg, or Bitzal Ranjborg. Take out Rabois and put in Rakois. Rakois means that they were nice and soft. And that's why they were able to go and bend so easily. Anyway, so Rabois, Varukois, Ugvoyois, Achar Asur Amma, 11 Amis tall. Kadesh Yehu, Goichois, Alam, Mizbeach Amma, so that they should be bent over one Amma over the Mizbeach, not lying on the Mizbeach, but rather bent over in kind of an upside down U shape. In other words, very gracefully going over the Mizbeach and Amma. And the Gemara is going to explain this in greater detail. Amma Merem Mishum Mar Zutra. Shema Mina, from this we see Ala Yesoid Monach Lehu, that the bottom of the Arovis were standing not on the ground, but on the Yesoid of the Mizbeach. If you're going to tell me it's standing on the ground, Mechti, Ola Amma Vekones Amma Zehu Yesoid, Ola Chomish Vekones Amma Zehu Soivev, Ola Sholoi Zehu Mokema Kronois, Koiches Al Gam Mizbeach, Heichemish Kaches Lo, Elav Shmamina, Ayesoid Monochlu, Shmamina. And what is all this about? So there's a lengthy Rashi, we're not going to go through the Rashi, but bottom line, Rashi tells us exactly how they constructed the Mizbeach. They first took an empty frame, which was like a frame of a picture, empty, which was 32 by 32 amois, and one amator. They put it on the ground, and then they filled it with all types of mortar and cement until it rose to the top of that frame, one am. And then it dried, so now I have the base of the Mizbeach, which was 32 by 32, one amma high. Then I brought another frame, but this frame already was smaller. It was 30 by 30. And I placed it there on top of the 32 by 32 base or foundation. And again, this frame was empty. And again, we filled it up with mortar and cement. But as opposed to the bottom foundation, which was 32 by 32 by one amma, this was 30 by 30 by five amas. And by the time it all dried, now I have a Mizbeach, which is one down below the Yesod, and five more on top of that. And then they brought another frame, which was no longer 32 by 32 or 30 by 30, but was 28 by 28. And this frame, again, we put on top of the existing Mizbeach, and again, we filled it up with mortar and cement, and it went up three amas. So at the end, the very, very top, after it solidified and it became solid, that became now the top of the Mizbeach, and then they placed on the four corners four kronos, but we don't need to get into the four kronos. Four kronos were the four corners, which are one by one. Good. So now, when we're looking at the Mizbeach, lahavdil, it looks a little bit like a wedding cake, where it's broader down below, and then it keeps on receding and receding and indenting and indenting. So down below is 32 by 32, one high. that became the aside. Then the 30 by 30 by 5, that was again indented from each side of the Mizbeach, one amma in all directions. That's why instead of 32 by 32, it's 30 by 30. And then after you've gone up to 5, you again put that 28 by 28, and again there's a recession, it's been indented, and that indentation is where the Kahanim used to walk around. It was called the Sovev. The Kahanim would walk around the Mizbeach if they wanted to do the Nesach HaMayim, the Nesach HaYayim, for the Chatas Behemah to go and dab it on the top, and Feivarim, or whatever they wanted to do. Anyway, that's called the Sovev that was surrounding the sides of the Mizbeach. Fine. So, we've gotten now to the top of the Mizbeach. It's now 9 Amos tall, right? 1 plus 5 plus 3, it's now 9 Amos tall. And then you have the Kronos, which are 1 by 1, but we don't get involved in that. Now, if you're going to go and put your 11 Amma long Harovis on the ground, remember, they're going to have to be put at a slant, because the Mizbeach is indented twice. So if you put it all the way in the ground, if this is 11, and you have 9 in height, and then you want it to reach over 2 more Amos at a slant, it's not going to really go majestically go over the Mizbeach. It's going to be placed on the Mizbeach. The very tip, the very top of the Aravos are going to kind of schlep. They're going to brush against the top of the Mizbeach. We want it, however, to be majestically above the Mizbeach and Amma. So therefore, says this man, the Amma, in the name of Mereimer. Mereimer said the name of Marzutra, that what they did was they put the bottom of the Aravos on the aside. So therefore, they only had to climb up 8 Amos in the height, and they only had to worry about 1 Amma slant because of the indentation of the Sovev at the 5 or 6 Amma line. So then it gracefully went above the Mizbeach. Remember, the Mizbeach was only 8 from the aside up to the top. Now this is 11. So even if you're assuming you occupy 1 Amma, let's say, by the slant, then the top of it could go above and then bend over and still be an Amma above the Mizbeach. So that's all Mereimer is explaining. So we said it quickly, we'll say the word slowly. Amar Mereimer, Shem Marzutra, Shema Amina. I'm looking at 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Al Yisoid Manachlehu. Those Aravos were standing on the Yisoid. These Al Kadaitech Aarav Manachlehu. If you're going to tell me it's standing on the ground, Mechti. Ola Amma Vekonis Amma. Zeu Yisoid. The Yisoid was one tall, Ola, it went one high. Vekonis means it receded towards the rest of the Mizbeach, one Amma. So that's the Yisoid. Ola Chomish went up 5, Vekonis Cham Amma. And again, it went in, receded by one Amma. Zeu Soivet, that was the Soivet. Ola Shodosh went 3 more. Zeu Mokim HaKronis, meaning that's the top of the Mizbeach where they put the Kronos on. Now, Goichas Al Mizbeach, Eichem Mishka Achasla. How is it possible that this long Arava would still be gracefully over, bent over the Mizbeach? I mean, it's after all, the Mizbeach itself is 9 Amas, and there's a 2 Amma slant. Okay, you don't have to add Mamish 2 to the 9. Add 1.5, whatever it happens to be. It's not going to gracefully go over the Mizbeach. It's kind of going to lie on top of the Mizbeach. Ela Shmamina, Ayisoid Manachloho, Shmamina, and therefore you had extra room, less of a slant, and it was higher. You only have to go up 8 instead of 9. Good. Amr Bavo, Maikro, what's the Rai from the Pasuk about these beautiful, long, weeping willows around the Mizbeach? Shem, it says in the Pasuk, Isru Chag Vavoyisim Ad Karnoisa Mizbeach. Rashi explains that the word Isru usually means to tie. Here, Isru means from a lashon of circling. Rashi, all the way in the bottom, brings a Pasuk in the Chumash in Parshas Vayechi, where it says, Oisri La Gefen Iroi. And the Targum lashon is Yisachar Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael is going to encircle Iroi, the city. So Oisri here means circling. So here too, Isru Chag. On the Chag of Sukkot, you're going to encircle. What are you going to encircle? Ba'avoisim. Rashi says Ba'avoisim is a lotion of Ilonois, tree-like growths. And you look at this forest of these weeping willows, one next to each other, surrounding them is Bayach. It looked like a forest of trees. And the word avoisim over here means trees, or really means the aravos. So Isru Chag ba'aravos, if you go and encircle on Yontif with aravos, the Karnis HaMizbeach, that's what you're supposed to do, ad Karnis until the top, on the top of the Mizbeach, and that's how you know you're supposed to have these long, long aravos. That's the basis, says Rav Avoh, from that pasuk. It really, of course, that's not the ikar limud. The whole din of Arava is Aloha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. But the more means that Hashtik L'Asmachta for the avoida that they did with the Arava is that they had these long ones and they encircled the home is Be'ach until the Kron is at the top. Now the same Omer Bavo says a Nochapshat. Omer Bavo, Omer Blazer, and this is what Shelley shared with us before. Kolonite Lulubi Agudai, whoever takes his lulav with the Agad, which means it with the Koishikol, and the other two Minim, Vahodas Bavoisai and Hadasim beautifully braided three Anaf Eitz Ovois. Malav Akosov Kilu Bonam Mizbech, it's as if he built a beautiful Mizbech, Mikav Lakarman, he brought a Karman Shinamar. Same pasuk, Israel Chag Bavoisim Ad Karnois Ham Mizbech. But Rashi says over here we're going to interpret the words differently. Israel means taka to tie, like the Aguda Shalulav. Bavoisim is referring to the Hadasim, which are Anaf Eitz Ovois. Those are Arkaris and Mizbech, it's as if you bring a carbon on the Mizbech. Now the question is, what's so special? I mean, every one of us takes the lulav and esrog. Well, what is Rav Avoh getting at over here? It's Zok the Mefarshim that when it comes to the din of lulav, we paskin like the Rabbanan, the lulav ain tzorech agad. You don't have to take a koshikol and you don't have to put nadas v'erogis. But even the Rabbanan that hold that lahalacha, they hold that it's not me'akev, but lechatchila, because of zeh. Keli v'anveyu, one should put it into an agad. So this yid, who's machmir, and he puts the agad around the lulav, he's going the extra mile in being mekayim the mitzvah. Furthermore, Reb Tarfin said in an earlier Mishnah back on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis, that your yoitza, even with one hadas, even if it's kotum, kotum means that it's cut at the top, that it's not a kosher hadas. But he said, that's fine. If we are machmir to have beautiful anaf eitz ovois, beautifully braided from top to bottom, so we're going the extra mile to have beautiful hadasim. So after Rav Avoh, such a yid who goes with mesiras nefesh to do the mitzvah, not just to be yotz in a mitzvah, let's do it. Let's get over it. You do it with a special fervor to do a lefnim mishur sadin, mit an agad with three beautiful hadas, which are ovois, then that's as if you're ad kanes mizbeach, you're bringing a carbon. And now a third pshat in that same pasuk. On Rabbi Yirmi Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yichoy, v'Rabbi Yoichan Mishum, Rabbi Shimon HaMachoyzi Mishum Rabbi Yoichan and HaMakusi. There was a city called Machoyza that we have throughout Shas from time to time. So Rabbi Yoichan is saying in the name of Rabbi Shimon who lived in Machoyza, who said in the name of Rabbi Yoichanan from a town called Makus, or Makois, whatever. What did he say? Kol oise iser l'chag b'achila u'shtia, ma'alo v'kosu g'ilabonim ezbeach v'ikrav alav karbon. What means iser l'chag? Rashi says iser l'chag means, if you look on the third line of Rashi, iser l'chag aguda l'chag. He ties the yontif b'achila u'shtia shekoyre l'chag oinig v'machal u'mishta. Every time the person eats on Yontif, in Sukkos, in the Sukkah, he makes a loud bracha, Asher Kitchanu Leishiv HaSukkah. And he says, Rabbi say, I want you know why we're eating in the Sukkah? Because it's a mitzvah. And because we're going to have Oinig Yontif. And the roast beef that Mommy prepared is delicious, and we're eating it covered Yontif. So a person that stresses that he's eating the Achilu Shtia, Lekovid Yontif, Alts Oinig Yontif, Malav Kosik, the bottom is Beach, we call it Kark. Shinemar, Isru Chag Bavoisim, Ad Karnasim is Beach. Now, what's the Pshat now? Isru again means to tie the Chag. Bavoisim, Rashi says, Bavoisim over here is referring to Behemois, Ovois, Shmenois. A good festa roast beef that has some Chedah, not Chedah, but some Shuman, some fat on it, which is really Gishmak. And of course, you have to be concerned about cholesterol and about thickening of the arteries and stuff like that. But it's still delicious and still gishmak to eat. So, therefore, this third pshat is defining bavoisim to mean behemois ovois. So, bottom line is we have now three pshatim in this pasuk. According to the pshat number one, avoisim is referring to the hadasim. I'm sorry. Start again. According to the first pshat, the avos that we're referring to is, like Rashi said, ilonois, which means the towering weeping willows that are towering over the Mizbeach, an additional amma bent over. Isru means surrounding the Mizbeach with these avos and with these beautiful aravos. According to the second shot, avosim is referring to anatz eif avos, and it's referring to hadasim, that a person who's makbet to take three beautiful hadasim together with a lulav and agad, it's as if he built a Mizbeach. And the third pshat is that a person who is makbid, that on Yom Tov when he eats achilu shtia, he's saying, I'm doing it l'Hashem, I'm doing it l'shem mitzvah, l'shem oinig Yom Tov. That's bavoisim, the thick, the fat animals. Now, what's the relationship between these three pshatim? On the surface, there's no relationship. But the Aruch Laner says that all three are work with each other. In the time when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, they put up the Aravos. There was Isru Chag Bavos and Karnas HaMizbeach. They surrounded the Mizbeach with these beautiful towering weeping willows. That's the first pshat. When the Beis HaMikdash was no longer standing, then how can you be Mekayim Isru Chag Bavos? By taking a beautiful agad on your lulav, beautiful hadasim, and that gets you to the top of the Mizbeach at Karnas HaMizbeach. Now, what happens if Chas V'Shalom, a person doesn't have Arba Minim? He lost them. He's traveling. Hot nisht. So you know what he should do? If he wants Mekayim Isru Chag Bavoisim, says Aruch Laner. Every time he eats something on Yom Tov, he says, L'shei Mitzvahs Oinig Yom Tov. And then he'll be Mekayim the Inyan of the Isru Chag Bavoisim. Okay, so do you want to write it?
Where do we have the word Isur? We also were saying something is prohibited. So here it means join. Is it the same Shoresh, or is it a different Shoresh?
That's a good question. Obviously, the word Isra means a prohibition, and maybe the etymology is the same, that when you tie something up, you're basically saying, don't use this, I'm tying it to preclude you or to prohibit you from using it. That's why I'm tying up the door by putting on a lock and key or by putting up a fence. So that's an Isur of... also involving tying, which would prohibit you, and therefore that would be Loshon Isra. I'm just speculating, that might be the connection, but the word Isru as a verb is often used to mean to tie something. Oh, so that's a very good point. I thank you for bringing that to our attention. Rashi points out on the fourth line, I skipped over it, the Rashi says, V'yesh oimrim yoim shela'achar hachag. What Rashi is telling us is that there is an inyan that on the day after Yom Tov, what we call Isru Chag, based on this pasuk, one should also be marbe b'achilu ushtia lekovoid the Yom Tov. So when Yom Tov is over, don't say, okay, Yom Tov is over, back to the work week, back to Labor Day, we're going back to work. No, no. That day after Yom Tov, if possible, you should also treat an ashtikal form of Yom Tov, and that's why in certain communities, particularly among the Hasidim, many of them still wear their Shtreimlich and their Bekishes on Isru Chag because they want to continue to tie the Yom Tov into and extend it beyond Yom Tov into the next day and further. So that's the inyan of that Rashi Yesh Oimrim, Isru Chag, I want to still be attached to the Yom Tov even after Yom Tov is over. Thank you for bringing that to attention, Brother Shai. Okay, let's continue on. Yes, anything else? If the dog is tied down...
If it's tied up, you can bring him on. However, mutar, if it's free...
If it's untied...
Asur.
Very good. Shkoyach. That's the mutter, the mother of all jokes. Beautiful, beautiful joke. Shkoyach. Thank you for sharing that. So, continuing on, Rabbi Yisai...
Mute everyone. Please go back on mute.
Okay, everybody back on mute, and we continue on. Now, from here, we're going to have a halacha, and then we're going to have a bunch of very fascinating agadita. So the reason why we have this halacha now, Amr Chizki, Amr Rabbi Yirmi, Mishim, Rabbi Shimba, Yechoy, You'll notice on the top line we had Rab Yirmiyah Mishum Rab Shimon Ben Yochai. So this now Chizkiyah saying in the name of Rab Yirmiyah Mishum Rab Shimon Ben Yochai, Kol Mitzvahs Kulan Ein Adam Yotzei Behen Ella Derech Nilasan. All mitzvahs you only yotzei if you're taking the mitzvah the way it grows. Shenema. Now this is a pasuk that is talking about the krushim, the beams that were used to construct the Mishkan. We know that the Mishkan was the krushim, the beams that surrounded the Mishkan from all three sides. Those were made out of shita wood, which is a form of erez. And the Torah refers to them as atzi shitim omdim. Now what means omdim, that they're standing? When you have lumber, there are two ways of construction. You can take the lumber and put it down horizontally, one piece of lumber on top of the other, or you can stand it up vertically. And therefore we're saying that these krushim were stood up vertically, because these were beams made out of wood coming from the trunk of a tree. Trees stand up vertically, they don't stand horizontally, and that's the way you have to do it, kederach dilasim. Rashi therefore expands that the reason why this Gemara is bringing it here is because this is not only referring to the krushim, but it's also referring to the arba minim. But there's a peladika Rashi. The Rashi is difficult to understand. If you look at the Rashi on the fifth line, kol mitzvus. This is the first narrow line of Rashi. Kigoyin karshia mishkan, the amudim and the pillars that were around the chotzer mishkan, the lulav, the hadas, the arava. Derach di lasan zok Rashi, hatachton lamata, the bottom from the bottom, but elyon lamala, the way it grows. So the lulav, the way it grows, is with the way we hold it upwards, and same thing hadasim and aravos. So we hold it derach di lasan. Why does Rashi leave out esrog? What's going on? It's hard to say that Rashi just meant, you know, v'chuli. I mean, if we would just say lulav, I would say he means all four. But he says, Lulav, Hadassah, and Rabbis, he leaves out the asterisk. It seems to me that this is a conscious decision on the part of Rashi. The reason why I think it's a conscious decision, because if you remember back on Daf Mem Beis, which we learned 3-4 days ago, the Gemara was saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, it said in the Mishnah, that if a person went on Shabbos and he carried his Lulav and asterisk outside, he's potter, because he's Toeb Edvar Mitzvah. And then one of the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph said, I don't understand. If he was already Yotzei the mitzvah by carrying it, then there's no more mitzvah. What's the Torah Bidvar mitzvah? So Gemara says, it's talking about Kisha Hofchai. In the third line, Omer Bai Kisha Hofchai. Now before you look at the Rashi, you say to yourself, you know what Rashi is going to say Kisha Hofchai? The way we take our Lulav and Esrig, that we make sure at the time of the Bracha, the Esrig is upside down, so you're not Yotzei the mitzvah. Then you make the bracha, and then you switch it upside, right side up. Right? Isn't that what you would say? Yet, Rashi, on Mem Beis Amud Aleph says, looking at the Rashi, Hamid Agbe Nofik Bey, the fourth line from the top, Hachi Kashale, Eichidami Lo Yatzibai, Holei Hoitzio Elam Kin Higbiyai, you can't go and take the Arab Aminim outside unless you pick them up. This is now the third of the narrow lines. What does that mean? Hafachu elyoin lemata v'agad lemala. Agad, as you know, is the koishikul, which is on the lulav. The agad, instead of being on the bottom, has been switched to the top, which means he turned the lulav upside down. Rabbi said, when's the last time you saw a person make a bracha on lulav and esrig with the lulav upside down instead of the esrig upside down? So apparently Rashi learns that the derech gidul of an esrig could be just the opposite of the way that we hold it. Now think to yourselves, if you were going into an esrig orchard, how do you think the esrigs would look? L'choyre, the ukitz, which is what we call the bottom stem, is attached to the branch on the tree, and the weight of the esrig would cause it to fall down, so that the pitum would be downwards instead of upwards. That would be the derech gidul. But that's not the way we carry it. We always carry our lulav and esrig with the pitum up, not with the pitum down. And that's why perhaps Rashi leaves that out, both on Daf Mem Beis, and over here, he says, no, this hafchai, we never carry the Esri Kederach Gidul anyway. We always take it upside down. What do the other Mefarshim do? Because after all, on the surface, then we're doing something wrong. So the Mefarshim explain, if you go to an Esrik tree, initially, the Esrik is growing up, meaning it's growing, it's like a berry, like a fruit, coming out of the stem, coming upwards. It's just that you leave it on the tree for a lengthy period of time, until it gets its girth, until it gets its height and weight, and then, by that time, the branch has, or the stem has gone and swerved downwards because of the weight of the Esrik. But its real Derech Gidl is with the pitum up. It's just eventually with the weight, it turns in a downwards fashion. Anyway, that's apparently the machlokis between Rashi and the other Mefarshim, because the way we carry the Arba Minim, including the pitum up, we say that's the Pshat in the Gemara, Derech Dilosa. Rashi apparently learns Derech Dilosa is only on the other three, and not on the Esrik. Anyway, but getting back to Agmar. So that's what Rabbi Yirmi is saying, Nemri of Shimba Yichoi, Kalamitz is Kulin, Andri Yetim Den, El Derech Kilos, and it has to be the way it grew, Shinemar, Ati Shittim Oimdim. Tanam Yichoi, Ati Shittim Oimdim, referring to the Kroshim, Shoimdim Derech Kilos, and like we just said, that it's standing the way they grew, not upside down, not horizontal, but vertical, the way you cut them from the tree. Dover Acher, Oimdim, Shemamidim Es Tzipuyon. In the Torah it says that after you cut the kroshim to size, they were each 10 amos tall. It says, Naposid Esa kroshim titzape zohav. You should plate them with gold. Now Rashi says the plating, so kadaita, could be a solid piece of gold that you would place next to the kroshim, and because it's so tall and so thick, presumably it would stand more or less free on its own. Says Rashi, the Pasuk Atzi Shittim Oimdim tells you it's Mamidim. They hold up the Tzipui because they would go and nail the gold plating onto the wood with Masmeroi Shel Zohav, with golden nails. And therefore it's Mamim, not only it's standing, but it's helping to support the Tzipui which is attached to it. That's Pshat 2. Pshat number 3 is Dover Acher Oimdim, Shema Toimer Ovet Sivram Uvotel Sikuyan, Tamaloimer Atzi Shittim Oimdim, Shoimdim La'oilam Al'olmi Alamim. What this is referring to, says Rashi, is we know that the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu was Nignaz, was hidden, and it's still hidden till today, and eventually it's going to come out of hiding at the times of Mashiach. At that time, you would say to yourself, well, since the Atzei Shittim of the Kroshim have been lying under the earth for who knows, for 1,000, 2,000 years, whatever it happens to be, by now it must be decayed. The worms probably ate up half of it, or the whole thing is probably nothing left. Kamash v'lon, no, Atzei Shittim oimdim la'olmei alamim, when it will be unearthed and eventually exposed, it's going to look fresh like it was in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, next tikkun. Zokti Moravai to be Amachiska Rabbi Yirmiya bin Shimon Rabbi Shimon Yichoi. Same names as before. Chizki named Rabbi Yirmiya, and now he's saying the name of Shimon Yichoi. A fascinating, amazing statement. Says Rabbi Shimon Yichoi. Remember, Rabbi Shimon Yichoi was very, very special. He and his son lived in a ma'ara, in a cave, for 13 years. During those 13 years, the only thing they could do was daven, learn, eat, nothing else. They had no movement anywhere, 13 years straight. And as a result, they got to the highest levels of Kiddusha. Says Rav Shimon Baichai, Yochel ani lifters kol ha'olam kulei min adin, miyoyim sheben evreisi ad ata. In the merit of all my schusim, of all the mitzvahs that I've done, I could pater, I could exempt the whole world from the day that I was born until today. Let's say he was 50 years old. Anybody that lived over the last 50 years and sinned, you don't have to worry. In my schus, you could be exempt from having to go, chas v'sholem, to Gehenna. V'ilmolei Eliezer b'ni, that's a mistake, it should be Elozer b'ni. And if Elozer b'ni would be Imi, would be together with me when I'm standing here making this statement, then miyom shenivra oylam yad achshav. Elozer, the son of Rav Shimon Yichoi, was such a great tzaddik. The two together, they would free the world from all averus from the beginning of time, from Adam Arishon until today. V'ilmolei Yosem b'nuziyo imano. And if we had Yosem as the third person, From the beginning of the world until the end of the world, we could pater everybody with our tremendous chusim from all punishment for all averis. Who is Yoisim ben Uziyahu? Says Rashi, he was one of the greatest of the Malchayis, of the Malachim, Malchay Yehuda, I believe. And Rashi says, Tzadikoy of Onav, Yoisim Yishar Malachim, and he was a great Mekayim of Kibud Av. What was the story with his father? His father Uziyahu was the king, and his father unfortunately became a Metzora. And he was a Metzora for many, 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 many years. And therefore, who was practicing, who was doing the real Malchus? It was really his son Yosam. So you would think that Yosam would say, well, I'm the real Melech, my father is just the figurehead. To the contrary, he gave all the covets his father. He said, my father declared, and my father signed, and my father decreed, and my father legislated, and my father did this, and my father did that. Really, it was all Yosam, the son, who did this all on behalf of his father, because his father was a Metzora. He had to be Chutz L'Machne, outside Yerushalayim, outside wherever city he lived, because he wouldn't be able to drezach with anyone. And Yosam was the one really in charge, but he deferred everything, and he gave all the credit to his father. So because of that, the Pasuk in Malachi refers to him, Ben Yechaber Av, he is the classic role model for a son who's being Mechaber, his father. And that's why he had so many zchusim as a result, that if you added him together with Elazar and together with Shem Bar Yochai, you could exempt everyone from all of theirs. V'yomer chizkiyom Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mishom Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai, Re'isi b'nei Aliyah, v'hein mu'atim. Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai, when he came out of the Mara after 13 years, he looked around and he said, I see, unfortunately, there are very few b'nei Aliyah. Im elefein, if there are 1,000 altogether, ani u'b'nei mehen, then Elazar, me, Elazar, my son, and me, we are 2 of the 1,000. In Mayahim, if there are 100 of them, Ani Ubini Mehen, there are 98 others, and we are the other 2. In Shnayim, if there are only 2 altogether, Ani Ubini Hen, we are the only B'nai Aliyah in the whole world. Is it possible that there are only 2 B'nai Aliyah? V'amarava, Tamni Sri Alfi Dora Havik de Kame de Kuchim Brichu, Shnema Sabav Shmoine Osir Elef. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on his Kiseh HaKavod up above, says the Novi Yecheskel, there are 18,000 tzaddikim that are sitting there, standing there next to the Kiseh HaKavod. Our Gemara says, Tamni Sri Alfi Dora, literally that would mean 18,000 rows of tzaddikim, but the Maseres HaShas and others changed the girsa that there was one row of 18,000 tzaddikim that were Kamei D'Kudshei B'Richu. Shnei Mesaviv Shmoina Asa Elef, near the Kiseh HaKavod, upstairs, 18,000. So you see, the 18,000 are not just 2 B'nai Aliyah. It's what like Kasha, Ad Mestakli, Bespaklari HaMe'ira, Ad Leistakli, Bespaklari HaMe'ira. In being able to see the Nevuah and the Pnei of the Shekhinah, the 18,000 were only able to see through what we would call today a foggy screen. While they, the two, Elazar with his father, Pshim Ba'yichoy, were able to see through a clear screen. Think of you driving in the car, and if your windshield is totally clean and clear, you can see beautifully and you can see out. But if there's a smog, or if it's foggy, or there's something on the screen, you try to put on your defogger, and you put on the window wipers, and here and there, but it's still hard to see. So those 18,000 saw this Baklari She'ena Me'ira, and the two saw this Baklari Hamir. Even if you're talking me this clear screen like Rav Shem Bar Yochai and Elazar, only 2? There are at least 36. That's the famous Lamed Vav Tzadikim that are mekabel Shchina every day. Shenemar Ashrei Kol Choychei Loi. Meritorious, praiseworthy are those kol choyche, those that are waiting and seeking to be close to Hashem. Loy is begematria tlos neshita, the 36. So you see that the 36 great giants, not just these 2. What does that mean? So the 2 pshatim over here. Rashi says the ayli bebar means that they're able to go in with rishus. The ayli beloy bar means that they're able to go in front of the Kisei HaKavod in the inner chamber upstairs by Hashem Yisbarach, even without prior permission. You can barge in, you don't have to have permission from anybody. Who would you have permission from? The Malachim HaMeshorsim, Echvayse Yafani HaKoydish, those Malachim that are there up in Shemayim. So, of the 36, perhaps all 36 need permission. Reb Shimba Yechoy and his son didn't need permission. They can go in. They were like members of the household, like it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, B'chol Beisi Nemanhu, you can come and go as you wish. That's how Rashi learns. The Masoris HaShas brings a second beautiful pshat from the Oruch. The Oruch says pshat that Bibar doesn't mean Bereshus. Bibar means with your son. That there's tzaddikim in every door. Baruch Hashem, the tzaddikim. But a tzaddik ben tzaddik, that the father is a tzaddik, and the son should be on that same level of tzidkus like his father, that's very, very rare. So, the other 36 are going beloy bar, they're not going with their sons, because they don't have sons that are tzaddikim like themselves. So they can go in, the 36. But to have a father and son go together, equal tzaddikim, that's only the case of Rav Shimba Yechoy and Rav Lozer. If you see the Masoris HaShas here, in my Gemara it's Ois Zayin, but in other Gemaras it's Gimel, Hey, whatever. It's a fairly lengthy Masoris HaShas. We'll read it quickly. Masoris HaShas says, HaChashuvim HaNichnosim B'loi Rishus, who's Rishus? Per Rishus HaMalachim HaOimdim Lefnei HaShchina Mu'atim. Those that can go in without asking permission are very few. They have to first go to the Malachim. The Malachim then have to ask the Rabbi Shlalim, will you allow this chief rabbi to come in? And that's already many more, at least the 36. The Yeshar, but the second pshat is HaTzadikim O'ilim Gan Eden B'Beneyen. They come to Gan Eden with their sons. Kalimer, She'et Tzadik U'Benoi Kimoisai Kimoi Reb Shimon U'Benoi Mu'atim. They're very, very few. Zeshomer Mu'atim Badoir Hazeh, that's what Reb Shimba Yechoy meant to say in my generation, Reisi B'nei Aliyah, Ushtayim Heim, that's myself and my son, that were both on the same madrig.
Where are you reading from? Where is this from?
This is the Masoris HaShas, on the left-hand margin. In my Gemara, it's Os Zayin. Look, you see what says Masoris HaShas on the left-hand side?
Yeah, I see.
Okay. See, there's a long one, Zayin HaChashuvim HaNechnosim L'Rishus, you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. On to the Gemara Vayta.
But it says,
yes.
Ha'ali below bar. The Gemara concludes,
Ha'ali below bar. Okay, so let's learn that. According to the first pshat, when we're talking about the 36, those are the ones that Ha'ali bebar, they go in with Rishus, they have to ask permission for the Malachim, they have to make an appointment, and the Malachim have to put it down on the calendar, etc. Ha'ali below bar is a friend of Shimon Yechoy, and Rabbi Lozer, they didn't have to ask appointments, they didn't have to ask Malachim, they could just walk in unasked. According to the second pshat, they go to Gan Eden. Rabbi Shimon Yechoy went to Gan Eden with his son, all both in the same level of tzidkus, and other tzaddikim go without their sons. Okay, back to the Gemara. Pshas b'tir asamayin, yibruchim t'ir. Ma b'shas b'tir asamayin, oyimrim. So we had in the Mishnah that the one man, the Yom Rav Yehuda, said, L'cha u'l'cha mizbeach. How can you go and say praise about a Kodesh Baruch Hu together with something else, even though the something else is the Mizbech, but it's still not Hashem? If you put the two together, the Shem Shemayim and something else, it's blasphemy. Shenemar, built il Hashem levad, Hashem exclusively. So Timur, you're right. The Pshat in the Mishnah is the following. After the Arovah service is over, they would say, L'cha anachnu moidim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are moided to you. Rashi says, moida over here is not from a lashon of thanks, like moidim anachnu lach, but it's a lashon of acknowledgement and recognition. We are moida, Rabbeinu Shalom, that you are the only God of the universe, Hashem Echad, one and only. That's that L'cha anachnu moidim. U'l'cha, and to you, Mizbeach, Anu Mishabchin, we thank you, we praise you, because you take the Kabbonis every day and allow for Kapara for Klal Yisrael. Or, Leka, Anachnu Moidim, or on the side, the Vilna Gaon changes that, Anachnu Mivorchim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are again, either acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is the only God, or Mevorchim, we are blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's the only God. Ulechon, to you the Mizbeach, Onu Mekaltzim, we're praising you and thanking you for a good job done, a great job done of taking all of our korbanos. Okay, so therefore it's not one statement of the two together, the two separate statements in the same sentence, but it's really two thoughts. Okay, we're going to finish off another few lines. Dr. Mark, Maseu b'choil, kach Maseu b'shabbos. And then you remember we had Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika brought in charoyos shel dekel. And you remember that Brother Shai was a little bit upset about all that, and we said we're going to talk about it in the Gemara. Is Omer Avuna might have Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, what's the makar, what's the source, the chsiv, kapois, shnayim, achas lelulu v'yachas lemizbech. After all, we said, kach lechem b'yom rishon, pre-eitzada de kapois tomorrow. That's a lashon Rabin. Two. We only take one lulav. Do any of you take two lulav? We only take one lulav. So just like we had before, Abba Shaul says, Arve Nocha means two Arabes. One with a lulav and one in the Mizbeach, in the base of English. Here too, Rabbi Yechman Reika says you take one lulav, and you take one Chayroya Shel Dekel, means branches of the same Dekel tree, the palm tree, into the Azorah, and it's also part of the Arava surface. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan respectfully disagree, and they say, no, it says kapasksiv, meaning it says without the vav, and therefore you could read it kapas, which means singular, and not two. So that's the basis of the machlokes. There's another pshat, Reblevi Oimer, kitomar, that what we're saying is that Klal Yisrael is like a tomar. What does that mean? Ma tomar. Tomar again means the palm tree. Ze, emle ela lev echad. Lev echad, says Rashi, means that the sap inside the palm tree only stays within the trunk and does not branch out into the branches, as opposed to your normal tree where the sap goes in all directions. The sap of the trunk of the tamar tree, of the palm tree, only goes one directional in the trunk up and down, but not to the sides. Af Yisrael, Eilem, Ela, Lev, Echel, Avim, Shishmaim, they also should have and do have one heart exclusively to Hashem, that we only worship Hashem, we don't worship anybody else. And of course the word lulav itself is loy lev, that he has, and Klal Yisrael has only one heart, Lavinim Shu Hashemayim. So from that, says Rabbi Levi, that's the makor that Rabbi Yochanan Broik is talking about, symbolically to show, just like we have Lev Echad, we take the Tamar, these Charoy Shel Dekel, to show that we have Lev Echad, just like it has that sap in the trunk. And here's where we're going to stop, because this really starts a new Sugya Omer Rav. Mitchem will start that tomorrow morning, Mitchem, at approximately 8:55. And therefore, getting back to your question, Brother Shai, how come today on Hoshana Rabbah, none of Hoshana Rabbah involves Charoyos Shel Dekel? We don't take any special lulav branches or lulavim or branches from the palm tree. At the same time, we take the Hoshanas. Why not? Because we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, we paskin like the Rabbanan, especially according to the first view of Rav Huna, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika says we learn it from Kapois, say the Rabbanan, but it says Kapas, and therefore we only take one, and we don't have a separate lulav for the Hoshanas. Any questions, Rabbi Yisai?
Yes, so just going back to Aniva Ho Hoshana.
Okay.
So it's very esoteric.
For sure.
Yeah. So they took these psukim and they tried to come up. So the Shem Havaya of 70 psukos, but there's 78 letters.
There's 72 letters, and therefore the 72 letters, 3 times 72. 72 in Pasuk 1, 72 in Pasuk 2, 72 in Pasuk 3, and you combine the letters and you get to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name of the 72 words.
Hashem's name is it's a 72 word name?
It's a 72 word name. 72 words out of that lengthy name. Two of the words of the 72 we know. One is Ani, and the other one is Vahoy. The others, you have them here. You can read them all. If you don't have it in your art scroll, you can either buy an art scroll Gemara or borrow one, or you can write it out yourself. Write out the 72 letters, the second pasuk right in reverse, third pasuk again straight ahead, and you have all the 72 names.
So each pasuk was 72.
Correct.
So we have three pasukim.
Correct. Three times 72 is 216.
So that's the shame. That's the shame of Mefarish. All those.
Rashi refers to it over here as the shame of Mefarish, but Rashi elsewhere also refers to shame of Mefarish as the Yud Kei Vav Kei when it is read Kiksivasoi and not the way we read it with the shame Adnus, but as if it's Yud Kei, in other words, the way it's written. So there are two definitions. If you look up the definition of the word Shema Mefarish in the Talmudic dictionary, you'll see Shema Mefarish number one means the Yud Kei Vav Kei Kiksivasoi, and number two, the 72 word name of Hashem.
So just two more, just to further.
You're entitled to up to 72 more questions.
Okay. So the Shema Mefarish then is the these three psukim of 72.
Yes.
Right. But and it's also the Shema Mefarish, which is which we use. It's just the Yud Kei Vav Kei pronounced in a certain way.
Right.
And the base of Mikdash when the Kohanim by Kohanim. Ayu Omdi Omrim at Shem Hamaforash, that was the
Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the first definition. Not the 72, it's the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay? When you said Yivrecha Shem Yishmerech, instead of saying Yivrecha Ado Shem Yishmerech, they would say Yivrecha, and then they would read the Yud Kei Vav Kei as if there's a Shvo under the Yud, and there's a Cholim after the Hay, like they call the witnesses, Lahavdol. Okay?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a good tevach, Rabbi Yisai. Try to get a little sleep.
When did you say tomorrow shiur is in the morning?
Emet Hashem, 8:55, give or take a minute or two, but Emet Hashem approximately that time. Okay? 8:55.
See you there, everybody.
Good vach, everybody. Zagibench, be well. Kotov.
Please come to the